mini-series here called A Heart of Thanksgiving. So if you have your Bibles now, let's go ahead and look in the book of Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read there in a moment. And as you're turning there, I want to kind of quote one verse to you also. I'm entitling this message today, Remembering God's Goodness. Remembering God's Goodness. There's so many things we can be praising God for. God is doing good things around us. God's done good things in the past. God's doing good things today. But the good news is God's going to be doing a whole lot of good things also for the future and for eternity. Amen. How many can rejoice and say, thank you, God, for the goodness you bestowed upon my life this year in the year 2012? Most of you guys. Amen. Well, this is a time again where Thanksgiving is actually something that's on our hearts, is on our minds, not just as a holiday. It's actually a spirit that I believe God wants us to catch, because a thankful heart, a heart full of thanksgiving, is also a tender heart, is a soft heart, a teachable heart. It's also a heart that I found is also gracious and gives out things to others. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23, it says, He brought them out to actually bring them in. God brings us out of something to bring us into something else. Many of us understand, again, that our salvation is about going to heaven and eternal life and so forth, but also salvation's much more than just getting saved to miss hell and just go to heaven only. Your salvation includes your body being whole, your soul being whole, but also finding out what God's plan and God's destiny is for your lives, and then walking in that destiny and that calling God's placed in every one of us by His grace and by His Spirit. I'm believing God that in the year 2013, more and more of your giftings, your callings, what God's placed inside of your heart is called hidden treasure. Those treasures will come forth, they will manifest, they'll be used to bless many peoples, not just in this church, but beyond the borders of this church as well, across this city, and also even some of you folks touching the nations more and more for Jesus Christ. Be even praying right now about next year in the summertime. We're trying to plan a trip now to Africa to reach out to that country. We're still seeing the well digging projects taking ground. We had the guy that's going to dig the wells go there for the past 10 days. Talk to the missionary there in Mozambique, Africa. The need is very tremendous there for more and more help in dental help, in medical help, to build churches, to plant churches, to actually build Bible schools, but also to provide clean water by digging wells in places where there's polluted water that causes sickness and disease in parts of the world also like that. So God must be aware of praying about things we should be doing to help out in some ways nations even around the earth. Also, when God brings us out is exciting. When God brings us into the new thing is also exciting. How many folks realize that sometimes the middle part is not all that exciting? Because when you get taken out, you go into a place most of the time by God's grace, into a place called the wilderness. The wilderness is a place of testing, a place of trying, a place where God's voice is not being heard quite so clearly sometimes, where it seems like God is kind of being stingy sometimes with His presence and His goosebumps and all these things we serve God for sometimes in a soulish type realm. God kind of withdraws those things from us sometimes for a season to watch us and make sure we're serving Him not out of emotions, not out of feelings, but out of faith, because we know God is a God of relationships, not just a God of feelings and a God of emotions. Amen. So the middle part sometimes is not that exciting. I just thought about this last week here about how the middle part was actually robbed from us also this week by Hostess Cupcakes being shut down and going bankrupt. I remember how as a young boy, I had a whole lot of Twinkies in my life. I had a whole lot of chocolate Hostess Cupcakes. And as a little young boy, we'd take those Hostess Cupcakes, those chocolate ones there, we'd peel the icing off first, eat that icing first, then nibble around the chocolate center, the middle, and then eat that middle in one big giant sweet gulp. Amen? And so it's kind of sad to see the middle has been robbed from us by Hostess Twinkies and Hostess Cupcakes kind of going the way of the dinosaur. Let's believe God to see someone buy that place out and bring those things back to us again. Amen? We want our Hostess Twinkies and Cupcakes. I haven't eaten one of those probably in 2 or 3 or 4 years. But it's good to know they're out there for our grandkids and their kids, okay? But I want to say this morning here that actually there's power in remembering. I'm going to talk about remembering, how remembering brings things to light that God gives us a thankful heart about. Remembering also shows us what God's goodness really is all about. God told the Israelites specifically what they should forget and what they should remember. Some things should be forgotten. Some things should be remembered. And God wants those things to be upon our heart, upon our lives. I want to do something a little bit different also this morning here. And I want to ask you guys in the congregation, who can raise your hand and say that God has truly healed you of something this year, 2012? Who can say that God's healed you of something? All right. Who can say in this congregation here also today that God has given you a financial blessing or financial breakthrough this year. You can think about something specific, okay? Who can say that God also brought you a divine protection that you know about God, actually showed up and protected your life where you could have been killed or hurt seriously? Who can say that? Okay, now the next step is, I want Cheryl to get that microphone ready. I want the folks here who have raised your hands, you said that God healed you. Who would volunteer to come to the front now and share a short testimony about what God did in your body to heal you this year? Who would do that? Would you raise your hand? Of you guys that raised your hand about healing. One of you guys need to raise your hand up again. Okay, I'll have you two come to the front. Okay, AD. And we'll have also Carly here. You give him the microphone if you do that, please. AD, first of all.
Yeah. Don't know if it was exactly a year ago, but I was in the hospital. All of a sudden, I woke up with just really sick, and took me to the emergency room. And boy, everything was wrong. And kept me in the hospital for 2-3 days. Couldn't find nothing. But in the hospital, I had a close encounter with the Lord. And so I just felt that I went to the hospital for a specific purpose. I don't know what, but he touched me some way. So.
Good. Yes. All right, Carly.
So very short. Last year, I actually died. I was diagnosed with diverticulitis, and I was put into a coma, chemically induced. And this year was the finalization of all of that healing. Not only did God bring me back and restore my life and give me healing, but this year I actually went through the final surgeries of all of that, of everything, and everything is completed and done. And not only did he minister to our lives through y'all's wonderful love and y'all's support for my family while they went through all of those things, but he has just restored our faith and our passion for him.
Yes, good. Praise God. How many folks realize God is still healing bodies, that there's no sickness, no disease God cannot heal? And so praise God for these two testimonies here, and all of us, you guys, whose hands are raised up, praise God for the work he did in your body, and God's doing that work continually in some bodies also. Also, those who raise your hands now for financial breakthroughs, who would be willing to come to the front for that? Okay, we're going to have you come to the front here, Dave. This is our keyboard player, David Broderick. Yes.
I've been praying for a long time. I felt like God was telling me that he would want to give me a house where I wouldn't have to take out a mortgage. And so I've been praying, Lord, how is that possible? I'm not making a lot of money. So I was just saving. He would just say, keep saving. So I would just keep saving. And I started looking for houses online. And everything out there is just so much more expensive than what I had available in my funds. And so... But God just kept saying, don't get a mortgage. You know, every time I'd call about a house, they'd say, have you been pre-approved, you know? And I'd be like, well, I'm planning to pay with cash. And they would be like, well, how much do you have? And they're like, I don't think you can find anything out there for that. But I kept looking, and God kept saying, you know, stay on this promise. It's something I want for you. So one day online, I was looking up on a website that had, you know, talked about different homes and foreclosures and different things like that. And found a place that was that day, the first day up on the market for exactly the price that I had saved up for. I talked to the realtor. She helped me go look at it that morning. We signed the contract, I think, a little bit later on that week. And now we have a little duplex just down the road here on Windermere. Completely paid off, no mortgage. And we're so thankful.
Good. Praise God. There was one more that had the hand raised up. Just wait to come to the front. What's your first name again? Lisa. Let's have Lisa go ahead and share something.
I'm relatively new here, just for a few months. But I've wanted to tell you all this last week, but I guess the opportunity is now. But I Came to Austin after getting after being divorced 4 years. Was making good money. I left that job and took something else, which was an epic failure. And I haven't had money to pay my rent or electric, or it's just, it's really bad. And a few weeks ago, several weeks ago, I came and prayed with someone up front and told him my need. And that was he prayed with me. It was really nice. And I sat down, and after church, I normally walked straight to my car to leave. And I thought, well, I'm going to go get some coffee and a Thanksgiving cupcake. So I went over here, and I was fixing my coffee, and the gentleman who's over in this area walked up and tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, God told me to pay your electric bill. So he doesn't even know me, but he gave me the cash to pay my electric bill, which I promptly did about 5 minutes later. But I just wanted to share that with y'all. I mean, everybody's hurting. I mean, it blows me away every day during the week just to see how many people are hurting and, you know, help somebody. You know, just do something, even if it's just giving them your good parking place at Walmart. Just help somebody, you know.
Yes, good. Yes, give it to Cheryl. Thank you. Thank you. That's Lisa. That's God's goodness again, being obedient, hearing God's voice right here in the church service. Praise God for that breakthrough for her. And then also now the realm of protection. Who had their hand raised for God saved your life or kept you from some kind of serious injury of some kind? This is back here is Dolores. You go ahead and come to the front and get that one. Is there one more person besides her? Besides Dolores? About, well, she wants to share something. Okay. Well, go ahead. You can come to the front. While you're coming, let's go ahead and let her share about this healing work that God's done for the Clucks.
I'm Thelma Cluck, and I was healed of a heart attack. And I'll talk to you about my brother. He lives in Loveland, Colorado. He was diagnosed with stage 3 of lymphoma, and I went to see him a few weeks ago, and I just got a call last week that he went for a PET scan, and they couldn't find a cancer anywhere in his body.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, I had taken my niece to the emergency room, in Round Rock, and they have construction there, and I took her there, but her mom took her home, so I was going home alone. And they have these little, it's over there by IKEA, they have those little yellow poles they just put up. I didn't know, I knew I saw them, but they had now completely closed the one where you can go into a Steak and Shake. Not that I was going there, but I take the shortcut through there. And it had cleared the whole area. And so I was looking at there, looking for the where I could turn. And it was dark. It was getting dark. So I got kind of distracted from the light hitting the yellow markers. And when I looked up, there was the light had already turned red. I didn't notice it. All the trucks were stopped. And I just remember looking up, and I just see that Jeep, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to hit it. And I said, Lord. And then somehow the wheel just turned around, missed it by, oh, about this much. Went around, was able to go to the other side. I was just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I missed it by so much. But I just had my hand on the wheel. I didn't turn it. Somebody turned it, which I know was God, turned it.
Yes, good. You want something?
Two Sundays ago, I had to drive down to Houston and come right back, and a friend of mine went with me. She lives in South Austin. And when we were driving back from Houston, I kept saying, do you feel kind of a bumping in the tires? Do my tires feel? I just had them aligned, and I just had them filled. And she said, not really. And I said, I feel something bumping. Well, I took her back home. We made it to Houston, got her back home to South Austin, drove to North Austin. And then, because I'm retired, I didn't get out of the car. I didn't get out and drive my car until that Wednesday. And when I went out, my tire was completely flat. My rear tire was completely flat. And so I just know God protected me on that drive down to Houston and drive back, because we could have definitely had a blowout. We could have, you know, no telling what could have happened. And then when I did get back and had to get the tire fixed, he had provided for AAA, even though it was a little over the mileage for the car to be towed. that he got me to the place that was just like 3.5 miles. The tow driver said, oh, don't worry about the half a mile. That's okay. They fixed my tire. They had the tire I needed, fixed it like in, you know, 15 minutes. And so I just want to give glory to God that I'm here to say thank you.
Yes. Praise God. Those are his examples again here. There's many, many more about how God heals, how God protects, how God delivers, how God brings forth financial breakthroughs. And God is not finished being with his people. Amen. All right. Well, Thanksgiving is an important holiday again because it reminds us again of how God wants our heart, I believe, to be a softened heart. In these last days, the Bible says, because of the increase of wickedness around us, we all can discern very easily there's been an increase of sin around us in many ways. There's going to be also a hardening of hearts and a coldness of heart take place among even believers, many believers, in these last days. God is also saying to us, protect your heart above all else, because your heart has the issues of life flowing out of it. It's like a wellspring of life. It's supposed to spring up into life and bring forth to the world around us the nature of Jesus Christ himself. I spoke here last week about Mark chapter 6, about the feeding of the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. I shared there again about how God shows us in his word those things we have in our hands that are given to God's hands, and then God blesses those things, God breaks those things, and then God gives them back to us the way they are, and he says, use them now to serve the people with that. If we obey God's voice, hear God's voice, and serve folks around us with what God places inside of our heart in abundance, we're going to find we're going to always end up with more than we had to begin with. Amen? The disciples, the Bible says, had 12 basketfuls of fragments of fish and bread left over after feeding about 25,000 people probably back in that era with the 5,000 men, women, and children besides in that culture in that day. I also thought about last week about how we think about serving. God says, you want to be great in my kingdom, do what? Be a servant of all mankind. The Holy Spirit showed me last week about how servants are those that actually have the most supply themselves because they need that abundance, they need that supply to give out to people things that are in their hands. This morning here at our Thanksgiving luncheon, guess who has the most dessert right now?
Me.
Our servers. Not Iris, but our servers. Amen? Who has the most bread right now? Our servers. Who has the most turkey meat right now in their hands? The servers. At every big party goes on around the entire world, who has the most hors d'oeuvres? The servers. Who has the most drinks to give out that are non-alcoholic drinks? The servers. Amen? Well, that shows us God gives you an abundance because you're called by him to be great in his kingdom, to be a servant of all mankind with the abundance God places in your lives. We say, well, that's absurd because these guys don't own the turkey. They don't own the bread. They don't own the desserts. They don't own the hors d'oeuvres and the drinks that are out there at parties. But the fact is they're actually stewards over that. Amen? The master owns those things. We understand that. But also God says all things you have, all things you possess, are given to you by the Father. They all belong to him. So God wants to give you an abundance that you might be able to serve people with your abundance in your life. The good news also is those who serve the hors d'oeuvres, those who serve the turkeys and serve the bread and so forth, they always get the first taste, and they always get also many times even the leftovers of what's left over when the whole party kind of comes and goes. God says, don't muzzle out the ox when it treads out the grain. Make sure the ox also has something to be blessed with on the other side of giving out. Amen? The truth is you cannot outgive God. But he says again, if you want to be great in my kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. We're going to look now at Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 1. It talks about the next feeding that Jesus Christ did, not for the 5,000, but actually for the 4,000. I found that for God to effectively use our abundance, it has to always be married with being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Your abundance must always be in God's hand and say, now, Father God, I have this abundance. Now, I want to hear your voice to hear what you want me to do with the abundance that's in my life. I believe God, again, right in the middle of economic downturn, economic collapse in many nations around us, you folks that are children of God, God's going to bless you with much and much and much more in all capacities of your life if you stay plugged into him in these last days. Amen? Because, again, I want to remind you, where sin abounds, God's grace to you will more abound. That grace is not just for salvation. That grace is for increase in every area of your life with God's help and God's grace. May your anointing increase. May your joy increase. May your peace increase. May your wisdom increase. May your favor increase. And may that increase bring abundance to you to give to folks around you that need the surplus that God places in your lives. Let's read now Mark chapter 8, verse 1, and then verses 14 through 21, New King James Version. And it says, in those days, the multitude being very great, very large in number, and having nothing to eat. They're all now together one more time. A few days or weeks have gone by. And here we find the disciples and Jesus Christ with a great big crowd again. 3 days have gone by. They've got nothing to eat all over again. Verse 14. Jesus called the disciples to him, and he said to them, it says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, and he said, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves and said, it's because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, he said to them, why do you reason among yourselves because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive, nor do you understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember about the 5 loaves and 2 fish? When I broke the 5 loaves with the 5,000, he says, how many baskets full of fragments did you guys take up? And they said, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 just a little while ago for the 4,000 here, how many large baskets full of fragments, large baskets, did you guys take up? And they said, 7. And he said back to them, how is it that you do not understand, that you do not remember about the 5 loaves and about the 2 fish? What God is saying to my heart right now today is, in this message, remembrance, understanding, revelation are 3 things that all go together. God wants you to remember things he's done for you in the past. Understand his nature, his character from the things that God's done, not just for you, but for our nation, for your relatives, your friends, your Christian brothers and sisters. He wants you to put those things to him in remembrance of what God's nature and character is like, but also to build your faith up. God says, remember things I've done for them, done for you, that it might build your faith also for the future. Praise God for these folks. Took the microphone a little while ago and gave their stories about how God blessed them with healing, with provision, with divine protection. God's doing good things even this year, 2012. Amen? And praise God for that. But I've also found that understanding must be mixed with a thing called revelation. Understanding comes forth by revelation. We've all heard the verse in ourselves that says in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, how many folks know that millions times millions have heard that verse somehow, some way in America today? But they don't. Many of them don't actually perceive or understand by revelation what God actually means by that. They know the verse. They know the words. They've heard that thing spoken there. They don't understand what's actually meant thereby. We must become born again. Christ gave his life. Christ came on the earth. We now can have salvation only through the name of Jesus Christ himself. The same thing also is true of remembering things God's done for us in the past. These guys' testimonies helps us remember what good things God's done for them and for us as well, perhaps. But God says, do you not also understand by doing these things for you, I want your hearts to not be hardened, but be softened up to be hearing my voice on an ongoing basis, that I might bring to you not just blessings of a natural realm, but also blessings of a supernatural realm to bring increase to my kingdom by your own giftings, your own callings, and things I do in your life. I believe right now the Bible also tells us we're in a prophetic season called Issachar. The Bible says Issachar was a tribe of Israel. It says this tribe understood the times and knew what to do to fight the wars of Israel and defeat the enemies all around that was camped around the people of Israel back in that day, back in that era. God's loosing an anointing upon his bride, his people, I believe, in this hour, to have understanding about what Satan's doing around us, discern things being moving around us in an evil type realm and a righteous type realm as well, and now say, Father God, where do I fit in to this whole mix of things you're doing, both in the realm of the demonic and the realm also of your own kingdom? I see things moving around me, but I want to understand the times, discern the times, and see where I fit in to bring forth a blessing of the increase inside of my life in these last days. You might be very upset this morning about the election, about things that took place among governors and senators and mayors and presidents or whatever else there. But God again says, get your eyes and focus off of what a man can or cannot do for you or a woman, and realize again that I am in control, says the Lord. I am the author and the finisher of your faith, but also of the nations themselves. And those that are raised up, God knows all about the people being raised up there. And God says, you pray for them regardless. They come to Christ, they come to Jesus, and I will direct their hearts like a water course as I please, as long as the earth exists, and as long as I'm on the throne, which shall be forevermore. Amen? One of the things that also puts you over in times of difficulty, times of testing, times of trial, is to remember what God has done for you in times past. When you're going through hard times, faithless times, times of sickness, times of fear, remind yourself what God has done for you in times past, and realize God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it then, he'll also do it today. Amen? God is faithful. Man may be faithless, but the Bible says God is faithful. Let every man be a liar, but God is always true, and God will still show up. He loves you not just then, but also today and forevermore. God is for us. Amen. You might also say that Isaiah tells us, it says, forget the former things. Look at that whole verse sometimes in context and realize when God told the Israelites, forget the former things, he meant all the things that brought you guys pain and backsliding and turmoil and pain of soul. Forget all those former bad things, but remember, he says time and time again, the good things that I've done for you guys in your lives, in your hearts. Let's look now on the screen here at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Hebrews 3, 7, about hardening of our heart, because what happened I found is when our heart is not full of thanksgiving, our hearts are not being softened from the hardening effect of the evil world around us. And God says, guard your heart from becoming hardened, especially in these last days. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 tells us, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear my voice, hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the time of rebellion back in the time of Israel leaving Egypt and wandering in the wilderness. In the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 solid years, therefore I was angry with that generation, and I said to them, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall never enter into my rest. What is God's rest? God's rest is what I talked about and prayed about last Sunday morning when I talked to you guys about how there's sometimes names that can be named that brings a point of anger or depression or fear or bitterness begin to rise up inside your heart. When you hear that name named of alcoholism, of addiction, of George or Sue or Mary, whatever else it may be there, we dealt with that thing, I believe, successfully last week. Amen. I pray those names you named last week and thought about bring you no more pain in your life anymore. What God is saying to us also now today about this verse here is, hardening of heart takes place when names are there that bring forth to us bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, and things that's hardened our hearts in times past by being a poison inside of our soul. God says, today if you hear my voice, you won't harden your heart anymore. You'll do what my voice says to you to do, and you'll bring forth out of your mouth sometimes forgiveness, sometimes love, sometimes reconciliation. But hearing God's voice is a key thing here I found in life. I also said last week, let's don't be hearing God's voice just for direction, just for prophecy, and just for confirming the giftings and callings and direction God has for our lives. Amen. Now, again, we Americans want to be productive. We want to bear fruit. We want to see our lives bear a whole lot of fruit and so forth around us. But God says, let a shift take place to want to hear my voice, not just for things that blesses your life in the realms of productivity and ministry goes, but want to hear my voice because you want to have fellowship with me and hear me give sweet whispers inside your ear to know me better and better in your life. you realize in my own life now, serving God for over 35 years, as far as ministry is concerned, one of the most precious things God said to me was about 20 years ago. Cheryl and I were driving from Texas to a place called Festus, Missouri. This is a place where Joyce Meyer began her ministry at. She was born and raised in that area, Festus, Missouri, about 50 miles south of St. Louis, Missouri. As I was driving my car, Cheryl's asleep on the side there, taking a nap on the way to a minister to a church's meeting time. The Holy Spirit told me very, very strongly, very clearly, look out the left window to your left. There's a white-tailed deer right over there. I love seeing wildlife. I love seeing deer out there in the wild. Amen. And so I looked very fast, and sure enough, a great big old giant, probably a 12-point buck, was right there beside the side of the road, back there in the bushes. I saw it exactly where God said it would be at. I would not have seen that buck that day had God not said, look right now, there's a deer to your left outside the window. Why I say it is because that shows you how God cares about every little detail of your life. Not just about your sickness or about your finances, about your job, your marriage, or about your ministry and your future in the realms of increase and blessings in those realms. God cares about every little detail of your life and says, I'm a God of relationships, and my voice will bring to you sometimes handfuls of blessings on purpose to show you I'm your friend, not just your giver and provider. Amen. Praise God that God does provide, God does give, but God also brings to us many blessings of intimacy and relationship inside of our lives and our hearts. Let's look now in the Bible at the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Exodus 17, starting in verse 6. Exodus 17, 6 talks about remembrance, reminding, stops contention, stops temptation. Exodus 17, 6 says, behold, I will stand before you, and there on the rock in Horeb, you shall strike the rock. Water will come out of it, and the people may drink from that rock. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And so he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or is he not among us? The name Massah means testing, and the name Meribah means contention and strife. God is telling us remembering who God is will put an end to contention and strife inside your life. The two main things that cause a hardness of heart and cause a deafening of spirit is striving with God in realms of saying, God, are you with me or are you not with me? Are you here or not here? God is saying, don't say those things to me. Realize I am the God that's still with you. You may not feel me, may not hear me so much, but I really am right there living inside you because you are my temple, my child, my son, my daughter, and you are close to me is what God is saying to us in our lives in this hour, this season also as well. I heard about a pastor in California named Bill Johnson. He said about 10 years ago, his 10-year-old son was with him in a crusade for evangelism. He said there was people getting healed. Power of God was manifest. Folks were getting laid out in the Holy Spirit in the whole front part of the building there. And God's Spirit's there in a strong, strong, powerful way. Folks are weeping. They're crying, repenting. God is showing up. And so all of a sudden, he's just there ministering among the people. His own 10-year-old son comes to him. And his 10-year-old son taps his dad on the shoulder or on his arm and says, Dad, please pray for me. He says, what's wrong, son? He goes, I am so crushed. And he's crying. He's weeping. He's just kind of heaving almost, it seems like, just uncontrollably weeping before God. His dad says, what's wrong, son? He says, I have not heard God's voice in 3 weeks. I need to hear God speak to me once again. How many of us can sometimes say in our own lives, we'll cry, we'll weep, if I haven't heard God speak in 3 weeks? Bill Johnson said, I was totally blown away to think, man, son, is that your criteria for God? If you don't hear him speak in 3 weeks, you're crying, weeping, repenting, saying, God, where are you at? And I'm saying God wants that same heart of a child given to you and I as well. He says, Father God, unless I hear your voice, I don't want anything else in life. I just want to hear your voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me because they're called by my name. And God wants his voice released to us in this hour and in this season. Amen. Remembering also brings forth an ending to fear and inferiority. 1 Samuel chapter 17 talks about David. The Bible says, of course, David's now a little ruddy boy. And the Bible says Goliath's now facing the ranks of Israel, about to try to attack them and taunt them and tease them and say, come out, send a man against me. I'll fight him one-on-one. If your man can beat me, of course, we'll take and give ourselves over to you guys and surrender. Otherwise, you guys surrender to us if I beat him. And the story goes on and says, and here comes David now, to his own older brother named Eliab to give him some bread and some victuals, the Bible says, for his own nourishment and to help his own brothers out. Eliab says to David, David says, now what's this commotion all about here? They tell David there's a great king or a great warrior named Goliath who taunts us every day and says, I will feed you guys to the carcasses of my own gods. Send a man to me. If he can fight me and beat me, we'll all give up to you guys. And David says back to him, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of a living God? Well, Eliab, his brother, hears that. And Eliab says, who are you, David, you conceited little runt, who left those little bitty flock of sheep there to come here now and try to show yourself as proud and arrogant and totally out of control as far as fighting this giant is concerned? Then he goes to Saul, and Saul says the same thing. Saul says, listen, son, this guy's been taken in fighting champions from the time he's a little bitty boy, been trained in warfare. He's 9 feet tall, has a great big giant suit of armor, a shield, and a spear. How can you fight him yourself, being a little bitty, ruddy, untrained boy? What God was saying to them there was, don't use your own littleness and smallness. Let Satan taunt you with that. God is saying Satan will always try to give you a picture of yourself as small, insignificant, inferior, having no ability to defeat the powers of darkness at all. And God says, it can't be by might or by power, but it must be by his spirit that Satan's defeated in your life every single time. Praise God that David, the Bible says, reminds himself, I see that in the past, a lion attacked these sheep, a bear attacked these lambs, God showed up. I took my stones and my sling and I slew them myself, grabbed them by the beard, killed them and choked them to death myself. They are just, they're totally nothing as far as God's concerned. And this man shall be just like those lion and bear was. As they were killed, so also he shall be killed this day. He reminded himself about what God did through him, killed the lion and the bear only a few weeks before he meets this giant face to face. What God says to you and I today is, remind yourself of what God's done for you in times past. When you faced your giants back then, how God showed up, how God was faithful, how God delivered you, how God set you free, how God brought that job to you, how God brought that divine breakthrough inside your life, how God spoke to you the way only God can do right in the time of disaster, it seems like, in times past. That God's alive also today in your life. If God did it back then, God will do it also today, and God will also do that also in the future by his grace and by his spirit. Remembrance will wipe out inferiority and wipe out fear. Look now at the screen here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which also dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is also in you today also. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The Amplified Version says, I am calling upon memories of your sincere and unqualified faith that was in your grandmother, also in your mother. Do not be fearful. Don't feel inferior. Stir up those giftings up. May it fan into flames by my grace, power, and spirit, says God. And don't be fearful of what you're facing right now, says the Lord. There are many giants being loosed right now upon the nations of the earth. May the church not tremble in the shadow of those giants. Amen. Remind Satan what God's word says. When Satan manifests and begins to rise up, remind him what God says about his past, about his present, and about his future. The battle belongs to the Lord. And God will be victorious if we just persevere, hang on, and say what God says and agree with him. The battle is the Lord's. The next thing is remembrance also brings gratitude. It brings thanksgiving. It brings thankfulness. Many of the feasts of Israel realized were kept by the Israelites to remind them of what God did for them in miracles in times past. God would say to them at one point, put up tents one time a year to remind yourself of your wandering in the wilderness there with only manna, only bread, and only shoes would not wear out. Live in tents for about a week to remind yourself where you have come from in your life, how God showed up, God provided, God protected, and God set you free from Egyptian bondage many, many, many years ago. Realize today, thousands of years have gone by. The Israelites still today put tents up one time a year and live in those tents on their roof, in their backyards, in their yards, their houses, to remind themselves of what God did for them many, many years ago. I'm saying sometimes remind yourself of the goodness of God in your own past. How did God show up for your children, show up for you, set you free, deliver you, provide for you, bless you, do good things for you? Remind yourself when times are lean right now, what God did back then, God will do today. And God's, again, faithful. He'll see you through. Amen? Amen. Last of all, let's look now at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and verse 18 as well. You shall remember the Lord your God. He led you all the way there for 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was actually in your hearts, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And you shall remember, verse 18, the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. God is saying, remember, remind yourself. God gives the power. God gives the grace. God is for you. God is not against you. Remind yourself of what God has done in your life. Also, remembrance brings eternal blessings and rewards into your life. Look here at Malachi chapter 4, verse 16 on the screen. Malachi 4, 16 tells us and shows us that God keeps record of all things we remind each other about that God's done good in our lives. It actually, the Bible says here, brings favor to us, brings rewards to us, and God actually writes things down in heaven we remind each other about that God's blessed us with in this life. Malachi 4, 16, let's read what it says here. Then those who feared the Lord... The word feared means have divine respect for, have awe for, have honor for. Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, to each other. And the Lord listened and heard them. And so a book of remembrance was written before him in heaven for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. What God is saying here is, if you tell others around you what God did for you in a good way, he actually writes that down in heaven in a book of remembrance, and will actually reward you for that in the life to come as you testify to other folks around you the goodness of the Lord upon your life. Amen? Look now at Psalm 27, verse 13. Psalm 27, 13 says, I would have lost heart, I would have fainted, unless I'd believe I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Are you sensing God's goodness today in your life? Are you seeing God's goodness all around you? You can focus on the negative things, the bad things, reversal things. You can focus on what God's going to do today and God's going to do also in the future. God says, see his goodness even in bad things around you, because God turns even bad things, the Bible says, somehow to the good, as only he can do. I'm going to have James come back to the platform now. If you'd do that, please. I want to pray in a moment here about our ears again being opened up, being softened, being sensitive to hear God's voice and God's word. But I want to say here again today, at the end of this service, we're in a season right now where God is promising us there's an anointing upon the body of Christ, a grace upon the body of Christ, I believe this, to recover everything the devil has stolen from us. God says, I will repay. I will give back. Sometimes even sevenfold what the thief has stolen from you. But there's keys that God's given to us in his word, and that main key is hearing the voice of God for yourself. So many folks in the body of Christ are not hearing God's voice in a clear manner in their lives, and you're being robbed if you're not hearing what God is saying in your life.